The Holy Gospel of our Savior, Jesus Christ, according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now, standing there were six stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. He said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the chief steward." So they took it. When the steward tasted the water that had become wine and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the steward called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs, in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Children ages 3 to 10 are invited to go with the verger and Miss Katie for a Bible story and prayers.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and redeemer. Amen. Good morning. There are two different types of time in the New Testament. Same word that gets translated in the same word, but it has two different roots. The first is the easier one to talk about, chronos. Chronos time, like the watch. Okay? The other is kairos time. That's the time of God. And I was looking for someone to give me a simple explanation for what the time of God meant. I didn't find one, but I'm going to try my best this morning to tell you what that's like. And the best way to do it for me usually is to use examples, okay? Chronos time is the time I had yesterday when I went to Wegmans at 10 a.m. in the morning. Okay, that was a bad decision. Full of people. I had a long list. Sick kids at home. The people in that store became objects for me to get around. That did not, seeing people as objects, did not bring out the best side of me. I thought in one occasion of using my cart as a defense mechanism. On somebody else, not against a tiger or something, but against a person. Okay, that's chronos time. It doesn't have to be bad, but it's filled with, it's about getting through a list. It's about efficiency. It's about thinking, how can I get from A to B as quickly as possible? And that's good. There's nothing wrong with that. Kairos time is about the time of God. And I'm just thinking about a couple of times where I've experienced the time of God. It's something we strive for in church. Sometimes we get there, sometimes we don't. It's not just about church, though. Last fall, My family went camping outside Rockville. It was like the perfect day. The weather was perfect. The campground, it was a horse farm, those still exist. That right next to our tent was a fence area that had foals that were like running around. The sun set over this like rolling hill. My kids were happy, you know? Dinner worked out that night. There was a creek. And I just thought, I never want this moment to end. That is the time of God. I think we did stuff. There were things to get to, lists on the tasks on the list. I think one thing that really helps with the time of God is the next morning we had nothing planned. You know, I think that really helps. When the next day you can wake up and breakfast might be at 8 or 10 and it's going to be okay. You know, that some practical things can help with the time of God, and not being stressed to get to the next thing is one of those. In the Episcopal Church, we believe we want to welcome the time of God here, and we believe that part of the way that we can do that is the way that we shape our bodies on Sunday morning. The way that we shape our bodies on Sunday morning. Oh, wait, I need to talk about the gospel. The wedding of Cana is part of the time of God. Oftentimes, weddings and funerals, like in our actual lives, are used in the Bible, in the New Testament, as Kairos time. Weddings weren't 3 hours or whatever they are for us. They're usually like 3 or 6 days. Whole village was invited. You came as strangers. You left as friends. You know, it was Kairos time. And Kairos time is part of what we try to do. We try to do with our bodies. Wedding of Cana has allusions of the Eucharist. We're going to get there in a second. And we do the Eucharist on most Sundays. And I just thought I would try to name some of the decisions that the Episcopal Church has made about how to shape our bodies to help get us to Kairos time. Okay. The shape of the liturgy. Our bodies, the people who are around the altar, our bodies start outside the church every service. We start in the back. And we end in the back. There's a theological statement about starting the service from the back, from outside the church, and ending there. It's practical, absolutely. We like to say hi to people, the priests, the clergy, the people around the altar. We'd like to welcome you, and we like to say goodbye. If we end the service and we're up here, we're now behind you instead of in front. We like to switch that. But it's also theological to start outside in God's kingdom. The beginning of the service is us walking in and walking forward. The service starts in one or two ways. The 8 o'clock service, it starts in silence. And at this service, in the 11 o'clock service, it starts with music. It is a theological statement of our values that we start this service with singing. We shape our bodies for music. And part of that is to enter the time of God. We do manual acts in this church. We do stuff with our hands, for instance. Sometimes manual acts can feel way far removed and distant and weird, okay? But I want to say manual acts are something that a lot of us do in our normal lives. For instance, soccer games, when someone scores a goal, you can almost not keep the kids from screaming and giving each other high fives, right? The body wants to elicit a response. And it's similar for Kairos moments. When I walk through our narthex, there's the baptismal font. The first thing I do is dip my fingers into the water and make the sign of the cross. What does it mean? What's its depth? I don't know. We could have a forum and talk about it the whole hour. But there's something about shaping my body in a small way in the shape of a cross. It's a response. It's elicited. It feels right. Now, the first time you do it, just like giving someone a high five, if you can think back about the first time you gave someone a high five, you might have thought, I feel like a fraud. Or, is this the right time? Or, is the other person going to respond with a high five? Using our bodies to do physical things sometimes takes a little bit of vulnerability. But after doing them a few times, it feels different and it invites a different response. So, we come in, we split, we read from the Bible. The service has two different sides to it. The liturgy of the word, the liturgy of the table. Is all this familiar? Is everyone like, yeah, we know, dude? Or is this new? The liturgy of the word, the liturgy of the table. When we do the liturgy of the word, it's not someone that usually comes from over here. Someone usually comes up from the congregation to read the liturgy of the word. It is not just the priest's work. Liturgy, the kind of the shape of the service, literally means the work of the people. It's all of us putting our hearts and minds together to worship God. So someone comes forward from the congregation to read the scriptures and to do the prayer. And then we shift to the liturgy of the table. It would be great at lunch or something if you talked about what your sense of the high point of the service is. You might be shocked at what your spouse or child thinks is like, where does the service peak? But we move over to the table, and there's four physical acts, four shapes of body for the worship at the table. We take the bread, we bless it, we break it, we share it. It's the same order in each of the Gospels. Jesus takes the bread, blesses it, gives thanks, breaks it, shares it. It's also the same narrative that happens in the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus takes the bread, gives thanks, breaks it, shares it. Now, here's where the manual acts, the signs, the hands, I really love some of these. At the beginning of the Eucharistic prayer, the presider, which in the early second century, the church was calling the president of the service, the presider of the service, lifts their arms out like this. And again, I don't want to say I have a great insight about the why here. I'll just note that it's the shape of the cross. I think of it as one of the most expansive signs the human body can make. I am wide open to you, God. This is not a defensive position. It's open, it is welcoming, it is almost like a hug. And I think it's a celebration for sure. This is the closest thing we have to a high five in the Episcopal Church. It brings a smile to my face. Another manual act, we bless the bread. We lift it up. We elevate it. The deacon of the service often elevates the gospel before we read it. Last manual act, we distribute it. Now, every church does it differently. I love the way that we shape our body, our bodies here at St. Columbus. Usually, there's a clergy and team right here distributing. There's also one in the back, parallel, which means that the person in the last pew often gets served first. The wedding of Cana, there are six jars for the ritual purification. It's a very implicit, not criticism, but Jesus saying, what are your rituals used for? Is it just for rule following? Are they empty? Are those jars empty? Or are they full of abundance and ready for a party? All of these rules that we've come up with, how we start the service, how we shape our body, they're all arbitrary to some degree. There's no inherent, you must do it this way, but they're meant for celebration, to communicate in our hearts the thanksgivings that we feel. I just leave you with this image. Wedding of Cana, people coming as strangers and leaving as guests and friends. There's no more powerful image that we have as a church than all sharing that bread. Look to your left, look to your right, poor, rich, young, old, power, no power, status, no status, we are one. When we can see that, when we can feel it, when we can find that new person, a homeless neighbor who's walked in from the streets and said, we are honored by your presence, that is Kairos time. That little wafer, it's not going to get you through lunch. It is food for your soul, healing, redeeming, celebrating, life-giving. All these things we lift up to God. Amen.